Up WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump, hosting his first cabinet meeting, defends the work of Elon Musk.
We want to make sure that the people are working, so letters were sent out, and I think everyone at this table is very much behind it, and if they aren't, I'd want them to speak up.
Randy Irwin heads a union representing 110,000 federal workers.
Oh, we are absolutely in a crisis mode. They've created a toxic work environment, and nobody wants to work under those conditions. It's not worth it. They don't pay federal employees enough to put up with this garbage.
The White House has sent a memo to agencies to prepare for wide job cuts. CBS's Chris Livesay with the latest on the condition of Pope Francis, who has double pneumonia.
The Vatican says that he hasn't had any more respiratory crises or asthma attacks since that happened. So it's good news, but it's not dramatically better news.
Texas officials report the death of a measles patient. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Hundreds of Wisconsinites gathered outside Senator Ron Johnson's office in Madison on Tuesday to protest possible cuts to Medicaid in the Republican House budget proposal. Their budget proposal includes over $880 billion in cuts to the committee that oversees Medicaid. In Wisconsin and across the country, Republican representatives have faced spirited crowds at town halls, voicing their concerns over the potential cuts. Some have even agreed with their constituents that cuts to Medicaid programs would be a mistake. Republican state lawmakers are seeking co-sponsorship for legislation that would direct the Wisconsin Public Service Commission to conduct a study identifying potential locations for nuclear power plants. The study would seek to identify potential new sites and opportunities to expand nuclear power generation at existing facilities. The agency would also need to cut 30 days off of the standard 180-day approval process for facilities with an advanced nuclear reactor. Wisconsin currently only has one operational nuclear facility. One person was killed in a single-vehicle crash in Polk County on Tuesday morning. According to the Polk County Sheriff's Office, the crash occurred on County Highway I near Indian Point Lane in the town of Georgetown at around 9:45 a.m. Authorities say the truck was traveling south when it crossed the center line and left the roadway, hitting a driveway and flying into nearby trees. The driver was pronounced deceased at the scene when authorities arrived. Authorities believe speed and slick road conditions were factors in the crash. A deer farm in Eau Claire County has reported a positive chronic wasting disease test in one of their animals. According to the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, the farm-raised deer that produced the positive test was located within 10 miles of Clark and Jackson counties, triggering baiting and feeding bans for all three. Eau Claire and Jackson County already have baiting and feeding bans in place stemming from positive tests in wild deer, but Clark County will put a new ban into effect beginning on March 1st. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Badgers bounce back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, Wisconsin with a win over Washington at the Kohl Center, 88-62. Head coach Greg Gard on the Badgers' fast start.
We were in attack mode from start to finish, and really, I don't think I'll go through the film and look at the possessions, but I don't think we ever really relented.
In Milwaukee, Marquette beat Providence by 30 points, 82-52. NBA, the Bucks' shots came up short. They lose in Houston to the Rockets, 100-97. At the NFL Combine in Indy, the Packers asking for the league to ban the Eagles' tush-push play. GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. We really haven't had very many discussions about it. I'm sure we will over the next few weeks as we head into the owners' meetings.
Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
I think that the competition committee will do a good job of looking at everything. Just because it's a successful play for us doesn't mean that it should go away.
That's the Eagles' Nick Sirianni with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s and a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon. That'll flip to a few flurries overnight as temperatures fall below freezing to 30 degrees. And we stay slightly cooler tomorrow with highs in the upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Earl Ingram.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important are we, is it to, for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor Jamie McShane, one of the stars of the new season of 1923. And Madison-based film critic Rob Thomas joins with Oscar predictions. The night is basically already lit.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, February 26, 2025. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day!
There you go. The camel has made it. Zommers, we have made it halfway through another week. How about that?
Whew. Last week of February.
All right. Last week, March is right around the corner, so spring not too far. Was feeling very spring-like here in downtown Madison. Cloudy skies right now. Temperatures around the state of Wisconsin, though, gonna be near 50 degrees, maybe over it still.
T-shirt weather,
right? I got my Packers polo shirt on today. Might get a little talk in, by the way, with our main guest this hour, as he always does every Wednesday afternoon. Comes on. Talks politics, but always likes to talk little Packers, you know, because he's a Packer owner. And there are rumors now. Here is the deal. The Packers are hosting the draft. Big hoopla, as well there should be. And rumors now, as the bright lights are on Green Bay, that they may be trading away their number one draft pick.
Really?
I mean, talk about, shouldn't the owners have a say on this? Shouldn't the owners have some kind of, we'll ask one of the owners here in just a minute. So we'll,
I imagine you can show up to the meeting. They right. just probably won't listen to you if you have like,
wait a minute.
One share.
Who are they thinking about trading for?
We'll ask the owner in just a second. Also later on in this half hour, he is the superintendent of Eau Claire Public Schools. Mike Johnson is going to be on the program talking about our great public schools as it is Public School Week. Looking forward to that. Also in hour number two, a What's Worse edition today. And at the bottom of hour number two, very happy to be having as our guest, brand new State Senator Sarah Kayeski of South Central and Southwest Wisconsin. Senator Kayeski is going to be in talking about the Right to Repair bill, of which she is a co-author. Shouldn't it just make sense that if you own something that you should be allowed to work on it? She'll be in to explain why that is not always the case, and her legislation would give Wisconsinites the ability to do so. Pat Kreitlow is on kind of a work, he says work vacation. I feel like he's back down in the Bahamas, but we'll find out next week. But who is here? Our old friend, ongoing contributor, former Republican like myself, River Falls boy, and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, joining us from our nation's capital, Trygve Olson, and a Green Bay Packer owner. How you doing, Trygve?
Todd, there's so much going on this show today, right? I can't keep up. First of all, who are the Packers thinking about trading for in the room?
I do not. We have to ask our great reporter, Mike.
Max Crosby. Miles Garrett.
No, I don't think so.
I'm all for it.
I don't know. We'll have to ask Mike Clemens at some point. I don't know that. I don't think they're telling who they're potentially doing it, but things are leaking at Lambeau Field.
Miles Garrett. It might be Miles Garrett or Max Crosby. That would be awesome. Trade the pick. Who cares?
Like, but it takes all the fun out of it, Trigby. Here we are in Green Bay.
It doesn't.
They get to announce it, and then they say, and the Green Bay Packers, with their number one overall pick, trade it to blank.
No.
Nobody's going to cheer for that.
On September 8th, on opening day, if they have to choose between some schlep that was playing in college last year and Miles Garrett, they're going to take Miles Garrett. No one's going to remember. No one stood up there.
All right. We'll talk more about, by the way, Tony Zimmerman.
If Miles Garrett gets up there and says, and the Packers have traded the 25th pick for Miles Garrett, people will go bananas.
All right. We'll see. Tony Zimmerman, watching on Facebook, says Miles Garrett would be huge, huge.
Reggie White, big. Not quite, but almost.
Garrett was the defensive player of the year last year, Tony says. So there you go.
Yeah, he was.
All right, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll talk a little bit about Packers later on this hour. But right now, Trigby, let's turn. By the way, I know it was late. I know it was late, but it's Public Education Week, and Mike Johnson's been on the program before. And so I texted Trigby yesterday. I said, could you reach out to your buddy, Mike Johnson, to see if he'd come on the show? And Trigby was kind enough to take 10 seconds to text me and says, I'm a very important person, but here's his number.
Why don't I wasn't playing out? That game. I had so much going on, and I still do.
I know.
I'm in, like, data hell.
I know.
Of Americans in relation to.
I won't say who, but you're having dinner with very important people. I've said this before. Your two lovely daughters. Your two lovely daughters. Yeah. First and foremost, it's like that old Steve Martin. If I only had one wish at Christmas, it'd be for world peace. If I only had one wish for your daughters, Trigby, it'd be for the fatherly love that you show them. If I had two wishes,
a lot of it.
If I had two wishes, it would be that they inherit your Rolodex. Because with Trigby's Rolodex, those girls could get a lot done. But Mike Johnson was so kind, so we're going to have him on at the bottom of the hour talking about public education and what they're doing there in the Eau Claire public school system, which is fantastic, by the way. But Trigby,
it's always good to see Mike.
Yeah.
I used to get to see Mike every Tuesday and Thursday my sophomore year of college when I would come traipsing in at the back of Tim Hirsch's class. I miss those days.
Don't we all those? My mom told me.
I'm like Eddie Money, man. I want to go back.
My mom told
me. That would be a good one to play as an intro, Summers.
My mom.
Okay, your mom. Sorry.
Are you like going to the gym before these appearances now and hyping up on protein drinks or whey or what's going on?
I don't go to the gym on Wednesdays because I'm on your show. I play ice hockey on Wednesday night.
Yes, you do. All right, let's get into the news of the day. Things ain't good, Trigby. I'm not sure if you noticed out there in the Beltway, but things are not good. And a couple of things that, in all seriousness, that I think is a troubling turning point, as one of the CNN people put. Yesterday, in the White House, now, for those people that don't know, when you see on the evening news, you're reading the paper or whatever about what the president, doesn't matter who they are, what the president did that day, there are what, Trigby? I mean, well over 100 different news organizations that have a White House correspondent. Well, you can't fit all those people into the Oval Office. They can't always fly on Air Force One to every appearance. And so there's what's called a press pool. And since 1913, 1914, the nonpartisan White House Correspondents Association has organized that pool, and they divide it up and they rotate it. And the deal is that whoever is with the president at whatever event, then they share that video, that audio, that reporting with all of the White House correspondents. They're free to put their take on it, but they all have access to the same basic information. That changed yesterday. When the White House announced that they were going to start controlling the press pool now, not the White House Correspondents Association, but the Trump administration, the Trump White House, and that they were going to not just exclude people like the Associated Press, but also now Reuters is being thrown out, and that they're going to only allow places like Newsmax, The Blaze, you know, these right-wing places to cover the president. And in this article in CNN says, perhaps most telling, the Huffington Post was taken out of its planned Wednesday spot as the print pooler and replaced by Axios. Huffington Post reporter S.V. Dade, or I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, has been a thorn in Trump's side for years, and Trump bristled at his questions the last time he was in the pool. Trigvy, as you so often ask us, I think this is a good time for our listeners to just ask themselves, regardless of who they voted for, if someone else, if Kamala Harris had won and she banned Fox News, how would you feel?
Yeah, I mean, that's the question we all have to be asking ourselves. And it's a dangerous thing. I mean, part of living in a free society is the notion that politicians, particularly the president of the United States, have people who are asking hard questions and holding them accountable. And what they're trying to do here is basically let Pravda cover the administration. And to your point, Todd, which is one I make often, if Kamala Harris had won and said, we're only going to allow MSNBC to cover us, that would be wrong. And all the media organizations should stand up. And there is precedent. There have been other administrations that have tried this, both Republican and Democrat. And in fact, the last time Trump tried to do this, Fox News was one of the organizations that protested. They all protested by not coming to cover. That isn't happening this time. And I think it tells you, it begs the question, and I would ask this, if Harris were doing the same thing, what are they trying to hide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree with that. And in fact, I'm looking for the name right now. I don't have it in front of me. Whoever the White House correspondent is for Fox right now, I believe it's a woman. And I believe she actually did say this was not good for the long term because you're opening up the door for the other side, quote unquote, to do the same thing. Should a Democrat get back in the White House? So even the Fox News reporters are saying this is not what you want here, folks.
Right. And there will be people on the right who will be doing what about, just as there are people on the left who do what about. If your side is doing it and it's wrong, you think it would be wrong if the other side is doing it, you need to call out and say. It's a real simple test that you can use for if what the other side is doing is wrong. We're either a country that has people that have faith in one another, or we're a country that lives in fear of each other. And people in Wisconsin, and most people don't live that way with the people they encounter on a daily basis in places like River Falls or Richland Center or Beaver Dam or wherever. You're not afraid of your neighbors. You have to understand, but it's easy to vilify people who you don't know. And we've got to get a lot better at having empathy and understanding.
Also overnight,
what I spend my life studying.
I want to get back to that, by the way. Also overnight, Jeff Bezos, who now owns the Washington Post, made a major change. Bezos sending an email to staffers at the Washington Post saying, quote, we are going to be writing every day in support and defense of two pillars, personal liberties and free markets. That's it. That's all. And he offered David Shipley, the longtime editorial director at the Washington Post, the opportunity to stay on. But he told Shipley, you either have to say hell yes or else no. Shipley today walked away from the Washington Post. If this isn't state-run media, I'm not sure what is. But we will ask Trigvy Olsen on the other side about that as someone who has fought against state-run media and who was banned from Russia by Putin himself. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Aaron
Dobson. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
looking at the road that was laid before me.
From civil rights to business.
Food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Milburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Milburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Milburn residents as Milburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Milburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Milburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
When Trigby Olsen just, you know, put on a pair of skates and hit people on the ice up there at River Falls. And, you know, we went home and watched Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite on TV and the big controversy.
And Pat Kreitlow.
And Pat Kreitlow. And the big controversy was, you know, did Reagan and Tip O'Neill, you know, put a jab at each other, but then they sat down and had a drink and everything was fine. Those were the 1980s, Trigby. But that is not what we're living in today.
I missed the 1980s.
Me too. 21 out minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on February 26th. Trigby Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, is with us now. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Mike Johnson will be along with us talking about Public Education Week. Cannot wait for that. But Trigby, before we do that, I want to finish up here a couple of things that I find particularly disturbing that you've had experience with all over the world. The first of which, at the Washington Post last night and into this morning, now owner, multi-billionaire Jeff Bezos announcing, giving longtime political editor at the Post an ultimatum, saying that the Post is going to now only focus, their opinion page will only focus on two things, personal liberties and free markets, and giving Shipley an ultimatum saying you either have to say hell yes and stay, or else it has to be a no. And Shipley said, no, I'm not going to be told as editorial opinion editor that I could only write about, and my editors could only write about two things, so he is leaving. And finally, before I let you speak, in the CNN story today, saying that New York Times White House correspondent Peter Baker did not take the actions yesterday of having Trump now decide the press pool lightly. This is what Peter Baker said, quote, having served as a Moscow correspondent in the early days of Putin's reign, this reminds me of how the Kremlin took over its own press pool and made sure that only compliant journalists were given access, unquote. Trigby, you've been banned by Russia, by Putin himself. You have fought for democracy and against autocracies in Eastern Europe. Am I overinflating this? Am I over making too big of a deal out of Bezos' comments, what's happening in the White House, saying that we are perilously close to having state-run media in this country?
Well, I would say, and I know Peter from back in the day when I was doing stuff in that part of the world, I would, you know, Peter's words are spot on. It is not dissimilar to what's happened in a lot of places, Hungary and where other places. And what happens here is allies, rich allies of, you know, oligarchs in some cases, buy up the media, and then they make the media compliant. It's one of the dangers of having media owned by, you know, non-independent sources. And I think, you know, Jeff Bezos and these guys, you know, I was talking to somebody who comes from that world recently, who's super smart about it, is in that category of people. And they said, listen, what you have to understand is Bezos, Elon, all these guys, what it's really about is the future of AI and who's going to control it. Mm-hmm. Jeff Bezos wants to control it. Elon Musk wants to control it. Mark Zuckerberg wants to control it. They all have competing systems. Obviously, Sam Altman and ChatGPT are out in the front. You've got all these players, and it's the danger of having somebody who's as transactional as Donald Trump, where it's all for sale. And so Jeff Bezos is trying to protect his own interests because he doesn't want somebody to come along and take what he has. And that's what I mean by fear. Even if you're Jeff Bezos, the world's second richest man, you live in fear of the world's richest man being able to come and take your stuff. Mm-hmm. And does anybody think that Elon Musk wouldn't come and take other people's stuff? He'd take your house if it had value to him.
Brendan,
now, granted, most people's houses in Wisconsin wouldn't be something he'd be interested in. But
I want to get back to that in a second, Trigvi. But Brendan, watching on YouTube, asks, the Associated Press is being kicked out. Yes, Brendan. In fact, the Supreme Court has now upheld that to date, although that case is still pending, that Donald Trump is not allowing the Associated Press to cover him. The reporter's not allowed to. The Supreme Court thus far has upheld that. And also yesterday from the Pentagon, one of the Pentagon spokespeople tweeted out against a reporter saying, well, that may this is paraphrasing now, but basically that may teach them a lesson. This is the Trump administration saying the only people we are going to allow to cover us are things, people that, and organizations that say good things about us and don't ask the president tough questions. And to your point, Trigvi, I want to come back to this. Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk might not want any of our houses, most houses in Wisconsin. What they do want is our political power. And that's why Elon Musk now is approaching $1 million in dark money spending on our state Supreme Court race.
Yep. And, you know, I mean, I'm a pretty conservative guy, but the reality is you have a class of people. And I think, you know, most people, I guess most listeners have probably never met anybody in that net worth category. Mm-hmm. I've, you know, through what I do, gotten to know a fair amount of them and interact with some of them. And in fact, some of them I consider my friends. I'm not in that net worth category, but okay, you have to understand they have a very different understanding and perspective on the world. In fact, people should read Kara Swisher's book called The Burn Book about the Silicon Valley guys. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. And Kara is amazing, much like Peter Baker.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to call it, Trigvi. I do this in sports with my friends all the time. We'll be texting back and forth a Packer game or a Badger game. You know, it might be in the second half with 8 minutes to go in a Badger game. You're like on last Tuesday. By the way, the Badgers got a nice win over the University of Wisconsin or over Washington last night. The real UW beat the fake UW. But over the weekend when the Badgers got beat, text back and forth, say, I'm calling it over, game over. I'm kind of getting ready to call it on traditional American democracy. We have now Trump taking over the press. We have the United States voting with our sworn enemies, North Korea and Russia. Not even China, by the way, voted in favor of the resolution or voted against the resolution, identifying that it was Russia who attacked Ukraine. I'm waiting kind of for one more major shoe to drop. They'll still call it democracy, right, Trigvi? But I really feel we're getting close to no longer having true traditional American democracy.
Yeah, we can talk about that on the other side. But I mean, the bottom line is people equate democracy with elections, but democracy is a lot more than elections. In fact, elections are just a mean to an end.
We'll save that part till 10 till. But right now we're going to talk public schools with Mike Johnson and Trigvi Olsen. Don't go anywhere. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cheese is about to take center stage as the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest returns March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. And while cheese is always center stage here at home, this contest brings together the best dairy artisans from across the country. Kirsten Strominger is the contest coordinator. She says they're also bringing together the best cheese judges from across the country. Kirsten tells us about the credentials of these professional taste testers.
So we have 38 judges from across the country that are, they range in jobs of, they might be a cheese grader where they're evaluating cheese every day, all day in their job. They might be a cheese buyer for a grocery store, and they are evaluating cheese that they're selling in their stores. Or we have dairy researchers that work at universities across the country that are well-versed in the cheese make, and that really goes into the technical judging aspect of the contest. And so we have really dairy experts in all of the aspects of the field.
And these judges will be grading about 2,000 entries at the U.S. Championship Cheese Contest March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. Stick around for a look at our commodity prices next.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
Commodity markets are ticking lower midday on a Wednesday. Cash corn down 0.75 cents at $4.79 a bushel. December new crop corn down 3.25 cents at $4.66 3/4. Cash soybeans are trading 7 cents lower at $10.24 1/4. November new crop beans down 6.5 at $10.44 1/2. And July new crop wheat is down 10.25 cents at $5.92 a bushel. The March Class 3 milk contract is down 4 cents at $18.66 a hundredweight, and the April Class 3 milk contract is 7 cents lower, trading at $18.33 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s and a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon. That'll flip to a few flurries overnight as temperatures fall below freezing to 30 degrees. And we stay slightly cooler tomorrow with highs in the upper 30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how, let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tad Kreitlow.
It's my final day off, which means I recorded this a few days back. Will Todd Alba really be filling in for me on Thursday? Only he and his bail bondsman know for sure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome back, everybody. It is now 34 minutes past the hour here. Glad to have you along with us on this beautiful day here in Wisconsin, all across Wisconsin. Joining us, the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, former River Falls boy. You can take the boy out of River Falls, but you can't take River Falls out of the boy. Trygve Olsen, now a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. And our special guest in this segment, Mike Johnson, who is the superintendent of public schools in the one, the only, the beautiful Eau Claire School District there in Northwest Wisconsin as well. Mike, thanks so much for coming on today. And on rather short notice, but we, you know, Trygve sent his minion, me, to book you, his friend, and I appreciate you saying yes.
Hey, I'm so glad for the invitation. And as always, Trygve and Todd, you know, whenever you call, I'm always interested if I'm available. So, yeah, more than happy to. Really excited to talk. You know, it's Public Schools Week, and it's a great week for us.
It really is. And my whole family are educators. I'm fond of this. But for you folks, and not just Eau Claire, but for public educators across the state of Wisconsin, what does this mean to you as administrators, to your teachers, to your students, and how are you celebrating that?
It's really, you know, it's a thankful time. In Eau Claire, just one example, we've got a very active retiree group, but also some community members with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And we've got signs at all our schools celebrating, promoting Public Schools Week. We love our public schools here in Wisconsin. And, you know, Monday morning in the snowbanks, now they're no longer in the snowbanks, but Monday morning in the snowbanks, got a few pictures from some of those. We had a board meeting last week, and we were able to, you know, talk about how much our public schools mean to us in celebration and recognition. And at every school, there's maybe a little bit something different. And but yeah, it's certainly a special week here in Wisconsin for our public schools.
One of the things I just wanted to ask a little bit about is we're in the middle right now, not in the middle, but getting towards the end of the school year. This is an exciting time where we're in the middle of getting ready for state wrestling. We've got, you know, basketball coming up. I know you folks have hockey. I know that school is academics, but for so many of our communities across Wisconsin, they're also our communities. Talk a little bit, Mike, in the Eau Claire School District about some of the successes outside of academia that just makes it part of the community.
It is. Those activities and events are really important for our kids and their families. You know, just a couple weeks ago, you know, a show choir competition at Memorial High. You know, fast forward to now, we've got the tournament series for athletics. And whether it's wrestling, whether it's hockey, whether it's swimming, whether it's basketball, girls basketball just kicked off this week. You know, there's always something to do on a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday. And if we're working here, like last night, I was watching Memorial. I had them on the broadcast, and then, you know, with streaming, and I was able to watch River Falls for a little bit and able to watch North Huskies basketball. Yeah, it's an interesting time, and an exciting time for kids and families and, you know, making memories.
Trygve.
Yeah, and I think you get to the heart of it, Mike, and we've had this conversation a lot of times. You know, it's the cornerstone of the communities, right? Like people, it's what they're talking about on Wednesday morning or Sunday and when they go to church. And people lose sight of the fact that in our small towns, like where you and I are from, that is the hub. But not only is it the hub of socially, it's the driver of the economic engine, right? Like, you know, people go from the public schools to our public universities, and then they're the lawyers and the teachers and the nurses. And so it's easy for people to demonize public education if they don't pause and think just what a hub. It is truly what makes the state of Wisconsin an amazing place.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, many school leaders, I'll just talk about my own field. You know, I'm unapologetic about my athletic background and in coaching and teaching. And, you know, at times, you know, people mention that all about athletics or this or that. It's very important. It was important to my family. It was important to me. And it, you know, it's that element of competition. And when you fail in athletics or in the activity you're in, whether it's show choir, whether it, you know, forensics, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it teaches you that stick-to-itiveness in your, whether it's the college or university you attend, and then into your life. We compete. I still compete. Do I look at the statistics on the state report cards in November when they're unembargoed and the embargo's listed? And do we look at, you know, do I look at our regional schools? Do I look at schools that are our size and how we're achieving and our growth? Absolutely. And, you know, I think part of that is that that competition, whether it's in an activity or whether it's in athletics.
We're talking with Mike Johnson. He is the superintendent of public schools in the Eau Claire School District in Northwest Wisconsin, along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Mike, if you could just talk a little bit about, because Trigvi and I talk a lot about what happens in Washington. Of course, he has a lot, you know, all this experience, as you well know, but we try to put it through a Wisconsin lens. And I think when we hear all these stories about immigration and changing policies, a lot of folks don't stop and think how that affects families in Wisconsin, and in particular, our schools. And I know you've been very adamant about keeping our public schools as safe places for students to learn. If you could talk a little bit about what these changes in Washington immigration, the effects it has had for you locally in Eau Claire, and how you've dealt with that.
I think we dealt with it very well, according to our families and the community. About a month ago, we were in Milwaukee for the State Education Convention with our board members and a few administrators. And that's when things really started to pick up a little bit with that executive order on immigration. You know, we talked about it in the large district caucus, where 20 to 25 of the largest school districts talk about these matters when we were down in Milwaukee. And you know what? Consult with legal, consult with DPI. Examine your own policies. And we put something out to our staff and our families. And yes, it got circulated around the media, and that's fine. But we follow our policy, and here's the steps we take. We have control in our schools. We have control of our educational environment. Mm. And if an ICE agent were to come in, here's how we would handle it. They don't have carte blanche. You know, they're a visitor like anyone else. But we have certain things that we need to examine. And we shared that with our principals. We shared that with our families after and our staff so that everybody felt comfortable. But it really is quite a bit of trauma to some families in our district. And, you know, when we made that announcement on a Monday evening, you know, I'd have to say 15 or 20 to 1, you know, the positives that we heard from families across the district, just about this is how the schools will handle in that type of a case. And unfortunately, you know, social media the next day, well, we you know, somebody posts something about seeing somebody at an ICE agent at two of our schools. Well, then that sets us back. And the nice thing was here in Eau Claire, the law enforcement agencies said, you know, that's very disturbing. And it really goes against all that we believe in and the partnerships that we have with the schools and the community is, you know, it just causes unnecessary trauma and to our entire community.
I was just so amazing, I think, impressed with, but, just real quick, I was just amazingly impressed, Mike, with your leadership, with your district. You didn't make it partisan. You put the students first. You included the community, and you included law enforcement. And I was particularly impressed with the way law enforcement worked with the school district. And I think it's a great example how people in Washington don't think about how these things are going to affect the local communities. And then it's on your shoulders and the police chief and everybody else in the community. And I just thought what you all did at Eau Claire was just an example of how it should be handled. Trevi?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, Mike, you and I have been friends for a long time, and that's a testament to the public education system too, right? Like I was saying before you got on, walked into Tim Hirsch's class and been friends ever since. But I mean, I'm proud of the way that you've been leading on it. And I think your leadership, really, you hit on perhaps the most important point. The trauma that's caused and that you have to mitigate is not just for the kids who, I guess we lost Mike, but the trauma isn't just for the kids who might be deported, who are victims in it, but it's for all of them. All the kids who are sitting in that classroom, because that's their friend.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
It's relationships. It's relationship building. Mike, do we have you back now?
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries.
I think I did catch enough from what you had shared, but to Trigvi's point.
Yeah, I was just busy praising you, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
Hey, that's that River Falls and UW-Eau Claire connection, right. I'm sure. Like you had both mentioned, it was the trauma wasn't necessarily to families directly impacted. It was, you know, my friends, you know, kindergarten through fifth grade students at an elementary school. My friends, this could happen to my friends. And that was something that, you know, that we had heard from other families as well. Not just some of our, like I said, some of our families were directly impacted.
Yeah. As we look ahead, we're talking with Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools in Eau Claire, celebrating this Public Schools Week. As you look at the what's on the horizon in terms of we're in a state budget right now, and I know you don't like to get partisan political, that's absolutely fine, but just help us understand as lay people who are not in education, because I think a lot of us just don't understand it because we're not there. What would you like the general public to be aware of the challenges, but also the opportunities for public education in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, that's a heck of a question. It'd probably be a 2 to 3 hour conversation. Sure, and things we discussed
the top,
you know,
one
like
or
last
two.
April when you guys, yeah, when you guys, when we had this at the university last year, you know, ultimately Wisconsin schools have been severely underfunded for decades. And it's really magnified now with the ESSER monies that came in to really help with the results or the impact of the pandemic. Well, with Wisconsin, you know, not getting in the past biennium to get any increase in our funding. Well, now we're seeing the results of that, where this is largely on the taxpayer, where, like, you know, we went to referendum in November and about a third of the schools in the state had gone to a referendum for their operations. The day-to-day stuff, it's people, it's supplies, it's programming. And, you know, now we've got to wait till June or July to get a budget, a new biennial budget. Well, I think the statistics are right now 93 districts or 85 districts, maybe 93 questions, are going in February. I think there are 5 or 6, and the rest are going to go in April, on April 1st. Mm-hmm. Again, and that's what we heard throughout our 65 referendum presentations for the funding of our schools, equitable funding of our schools, is that this is not just an Eau Claire problem. This is a regional, this is a statewide problem, that schools are not funded as they should be, keeping up with inflation and, you know, with the programming and positions that people had found necessary as a result of COVID to keep those things going. Keep those people in those positions, keep those systems moving. And it'll be very interesting to see how many districts go to referendum in November if there isn't some serious work done,
Mike,
whether it's on the, you know, special education funding, for example.
30 seconds left, Mike. Anything we have not asked you want people to know about Eau Claire Public Schools during this Public Schools Week?
You know what? You mentioned it before. It's a nonpartisan issue. And we found that in our referendum. We had a big ask for the taxpayers, the largest that we've had in Eau Claire, to my knowledge. But, you know, we had 64-65% who voted yes. So there are plenty of Republican folks that strongly support our schools here in Eau Claire. And I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud of our community.
Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools, Eau Claire. Mike, you and all your team are part of what makes Wisconsin great. Keep doing a great job. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
Stay tuned. Back after this.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Wisconsin's next major election is already here. The race for state Supreme Court is ramping up with just a few weeks to go before the April 1st general election. Much like the race 2 years ago, this will determine the balance of power on the court. If Susan Crawford wins, the court remains in liberal control. If Brad Schimmel wins, the court flips back to a right-wing majority. But there are a number of differing dynamics from the race in 2023. That race, won by Janet Protasiewicz, was the culmination of a years-long effort for liberals to win control of the court. Now they're playing defense to keep that majority. This also begins a run of 6 years in a row with a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court on the spring election ballot. Because of which justices will be up in coming years, if Crawford wins this year, the court will likely remain in liberal control until at least 2028. Find more bigger picture analysis of the race in my latest column at the Recombobulation Area.
Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
You got to get up pretty early in the morning to strap on the skates and go out there and practice on that clean ice as the sun comes up over the St. Croix River in order to be an NHL star. And that's why Trevi Olsen is never an NHL star. not a morning person.
That's 100% right. Not a morning person, no.
But how about Mike Johnson, who is, what a great guy. I know he's a good friend of yours.
He's an All-American. He's a Division III All-American basketball player.
Was he really? That's right. I guess you did tell me that.
Yeah. Phenomenal basketball
That's right.
Player.
He gave my
platform. And his son signed a full ride at Iowa to play tight end.
That's amazing. Good for him. No, when Mike was on the team, he gave my Platteville Pioneers fifth. The only team that Bo Ryan ever really had a problem, Kenny Anderson and the Blue Golds were a thorn in Bo's side all those years because they had great teams.
Yeah. They were loaded. I mean, Mike Johnson and Mike Frazier.
Yep. Many thanks
Frazier,
to Mike.
If you're listening, shout out. Probably is since Johnson was on.
Many thanks to
and
Mike.
He does. He does stuff in education, too.
Many thanks to Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools, as we celebrate this Public Schools Week. Trivia, I want to go back quickly because we started this at the bottom of the hour. I didn't want to drag Mike into our partisan discussions. But, and every time I say this now, all I think of Joe Biden when I say, I'm not joking around. But I'm not joking around when you look at what's happening in Trump icing out media people who don't agree with him now and controlling the White House press pool, as you look at the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos taking control of a very narrow op-ed window, as you look at the United States now voting with our sworn enemies in North Korea and Russia against our NATO allies on Ukraine. You talked about this earlier. I'm getting very close to saying, yes, people will call it a democracy, but the reliable, dependable, traditional American democracy that we've enjoyed for nearly 250 years is on the precipice of disappearing. You said it's not just all about elections. Explain.
Yeah, I mean, people tend to, you know, think about elections as democracy just because you vote, that is what makes it democracy. I mean, people vote in Russia, people vote in Iran, people vote in lots of places, and they don't have democracies. Democracies really are built on a lot of different things. The rule of law, that we're a country where there's a set of rules and those rules apply to everybody. That is certainly under assault, where there is process, where it's slow, it's deliberative, it's freedom of speech, it's freedom of assembly, it's freedom of the press, that politicians can be held accountable. And it's not just elections. And we've had this tendency to, you know, those pillars are under assault. And we have a tendency for people to think, well, democracy is just I get to go and vote on a Tuesday in November or April. That really isn't what it's about. It's about a system that wraps a whole schoolhouse rock of pieces around the fact that holding power is very zero sum. And if you don't have mechanisms for holding that zero sum in place, those people who want to control everything are going to seek to do that. And ultimately, everyone loses when that's the case. Mm-hmm. And we're dangerously close to that point. I don't disagree with you, Todd. I don't want people to be all pessimistic. No, I don't want people to be all pessimistic. Because I will tell you, I will tell you, I have seen this around the world. That, you know, de Tocqueville said, democracy is like a rising tide. It only recoils to come back with greater force. And I think de Tocqueville is right in that. You know, and we're seeing that in places. There are people standing up to these assaults. You're seeing that with the Fox News reporter saying this is really troubling, right? Like, it requires people on the side that is attempting to do it to speak up. I am still a conservative in a very traditional sense, but I believe in democracy more. And I'm willing to make alliance for people who I want to have a right to free speech. I want my kids to have a right to free speech. I want my kids to have a right to peaceful assembly. I want my kids to be able to go and have people that are holding those who have power accountable.
And we saw this
that is a far better world than the alternative. And I've seen the alternatives up close. And I think that's what Peter Baker is talking about when he's saying, you know, people should, and I'm not trying to just pull out my own horn here, but the people that do the best job of covering this as reporters, the people who seem to have the greatest understanding of this are the people who've actually had to spend time and live in those places.
Right. And we've seen the people standing up this week in Wisconsin, showing up at town halls with Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald. Unfortunately, Derek Van Orten refuses to hold town halls. But those who have gotten an earful, and, you know, they've been, you know, fairly respectful, no violence or anything like that. But I think that is important that people continue to show up and voice their actions, as Reed Galen said on this program a couple of weeks ago.
We the people.
Get involved in your communities. You know, make relationships.
Listen, here's the thing. Derek Van Orten run around, we the people, we the people, we the people. Why doesn't he want to? Is he no longer we the people? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that's
he found time
the
to
whole
go back
thing.
To Israel.
You know, well, I mean, it's all these guys. Mike Lee, a senator from Utah, I remember listening to him speak one time where he talked about carrying the Constitution around in his pocket. He's being awfully quiet when pieces of the Constitution are being circumvented. Mm-hmm. In fact, he's been speaking the other way. The question is, I mean, it's like my buddy Stuart Stevens, colleague, you know, was it all just a lie? Did they not believe it? And the we the people stuff. Derek Van Orten would have been, I'm all about states' rights. Now that you have states saying we're not doing this, this is our purview. Well, now they're not for states' rights. Do they not stand for anything other than themselves being in power? The truth of the matter is that is what they stand for.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Always a pleasure. 15 seconds, 10 seconds.
I love the music, Zommers. We're like power civic radio today.
All right. Thanks, Trig. We will see you next Wednesday, my friend. Be safe. Trig Olson, yep. Senior Vice Lincoln Project. What's Worse is coming up in hour number two. Also, State Senator Sarah Kayeski. Come on back. It's hour two on the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Dom Selvia. Next time, Matt Rothschild is teaming up with Jess BS while I am out pursuing my life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness on a beach. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump held his first cabinet meeting today, taking a number of questions from reporters before getting down to business. He said he has a mandate to slash federal spending.
We have cut billions and billions and billions of dollars. We're looking to get it maybe to $1 trillion.
On further reductions in the federal workforce, he said the agencies are being instructed to find where to cut. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
So while we have seen probationary employees let go, we could see even bigger numbers in the coming weeks.
Two deaths have now been reported in the measles outbreak in West Texas, the first since it began last month. CBS's Omar Villafranca is in Lubbock, Texas, on the efforts to stop the outbreak.
What they're doing is pushing testing in certain counties that are high hit and also having clinics where people can go in and get the vaccine.
More than 120 cases have been reported across 9 counties in Texas. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.